don't panic. It's organic. The way that nature intended it. Don't panic.
Okay, everybody, hang on. Here we go.
BBSRadio.com, home of Don't Panic, It's Organic, with Andy Lopez, the Invisible Gardener. Visit InvisibleGardener.com for a magical garden.
On the hens at Buck, you are out of luck if you want to scramble eggs upon your plate. For the eggs hatch chickens and they ran like the dickens. If you want scrambled eggs, you have to wait.
C-H-I-C-K-E-N, if you want to spell chicken, then you try it once again. C-H-I-C-K-E-N, spell chicken, chicken, chicken every time.
I love that song, Ed. What are we doing? What am I doing here? Where am I?
Where is this? Whose house is this? Hello? Anybody here? Hello?
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 Oh, hi, Deborah.
Hi, Andy. How are you?
I don't know. It's hard to say. I'm recovering from my dental surgery.
I know. You had that, what, a couple weeks ago?
I think it's been a week. Maybe 2 weeks. Okay, so maybe it's been 2 weeks, right?
I think so. But you had a little mishap along the way that made you feel like it was a week.
Oh, well, it's just that, you know, you feel like you were in a fight and you lost, and you'll be sore for a long time. And then to make it worse is that it's going to take 6 months for it to heal. So I'm supposed to wear this, like, you know, when they have a fight, they put this thing in your mouth and so you can fight.
Oh, for fighters, yes.
That's what it looks like. I'm supposed to wear that, and I couldn't even talk. So, but without it, I sound a little funny. Do I sound a little bit sexy?
You always sound sexy, Andy. So, yeah, sound great.
That's not nice. You're supposed to say, I don't think you sound sexy. You're supposed to be my counterbalance.
Well, I am your counterbalance. In fact, we're so counterbalanced that I'm recuperating from surgery, too. Andy, if you don't know, lives in Southern California. I live in Northern California, and I had rotator cuff surgery, so we're both in recovery.
Are you taking drugs?
I'm not right now. I'm not.
Maybe we can share drugs. I got so much drugs these guys give you. I never use them. You know, they say they have this called Narco and these other stuff.
Yeah.
And they say you're supposed to take it. And I go, I don't think so. And that's all I have. I have a collection of them. I guess I should go in a corner and sell them or something. But I don't believe in any of these drugs. They're totally like, they just knock you out, you know. Then you'll walk around for weeks and weeks and going, So
I did take them right after my surgery, and I think it was three weeks later my skin started flaking. I think it might have been from the drugs or from the anesthesia.
They do all kinds of stuff to your body, right? They do all kinds of stuff to your body. So, yeah. But I like, you know, more natural things. So I've been good at taking care of my body. So I went to my local health place and picked up a bunch of different kinds of herbs and drinks, and it's okay, except that, you know, they want the worst thing, right? They want 7 days of antibiotics.
They want you to be on 7 days worth of
those? Oh, antibiotics. And antibiotics are like really, really bad. You can't eat. You know, your stomach's upset. It's like, holy cow. And if I don't take it and I get sick, they'll say, well, we told you to take the antibiotics. So I finally got off it.
You can always ask them for one that doesn't make your stomach upset. And also take, I've heard if you take a probiotic with the antibiotic, not at the same time, obviously, because they're going to fight against each other, but you need that good bacteria.
I took acidophilus.
Mm-hmm.
Acidophilus really helps my stomach get back in shape, and it doesn't interfere with the
antibiotics. Yeah.
So, one of the things we're going to have to do, if you're going to do this again next time, is we have to actually get together before so you know what we're doing. Otherwise, you're just going to wing it.
I kind of get an inkling we're going to talk about how to kill all living beings within 50 years.
Yeah, did you see that article by any chance?
I did, and I also looking at your book, Don't Panic, It's Organic. I got my own copy. It's a black and white copy. It's like my Bible.
I'm going to have to send you the color version of it, okay? But we'll see.
I'd love you if you did.
Well, if you do, you can't touch it. You have to put it into a, mine is inside
a special. I'm trying mine, okay?
Well, mine is inside a big giant envelope, you know, the kind you send off in a post office and padded. Then that envelope is inside. I went and bought these. They're made of plastic. They're like Tupperware. They have a top on. Then you can seal it. It's inside of that, and I sealed it.
Okay.
That's what I'm talking about. Oh, you have to clean. If you get fingerprints on it, then it isn't any good. If you have it totally clean, I'm guaranteeing you that 10 years from now, you can put it on eBay for $1,000.
I can retire. I'll enshrine it and then retire within a decade.
No, I'm not kidding, because, you know, the the artwork is done by my daughter-in-law. Her name is Cindy Berry. Hi, Cindy, if you're listening to the show.
It's beautiful artwork, Cindy. It's so gorgeous. It's so magical.
It's amazing. I told her I want 12 different fairy creatures for each, one for each chapter.
Wow.
Because I was trying to figure out what to put as an artwork for each chapter. And I'm looking at it, I'm going, I know somebody. I said, look, all you got to do is walk around your house. Hey, folks, we'll be with you in a second. We're out here talking. All you got to do is walk around your house, pick 12 different pieces of artwork that are lying around, and send me the art, you know, a PDF, you know, a picture, image of it, and I put it in.
Yeah.
That's all she's got to do, you know. She didn't have to create anything new, because, you know, have you ever been to an artist's house? There's just tons of stuff everywhere.
Yes, yes.
So, that's the, by the way, you know, we have a contest every month, and so right now what I'm doing is, I had special ordered 10 of these colored version of the book. I made an initial mistake, and I said, well, okay, I'll let, because Amazon said, well, we can put it up for sale just like all the other ones. I said, okay. So the first month that it goes up for sale, somebody starts selling it for $300. I don't know if it was you that told me or somebody said, I can't buy the book.
I told you. So they wanted to buy it, and I am not spending that much money.
You remember that, do you? Right? So I went up there. I said, why is... They said, well, here's the way it works. It's a third-party vendor. They don't even have to have a book. They just put it up for sale. If somebody buys it, they just have them shipped it to them. And they can sell it for whatever price they want to. So I called the guy up. I says, what's the deal selling my book for $300? I'm the author. Well, it's a great book. It's an amazing book. It's what we think is worth it. Well, you're probably right, but you need to give it some time first. Besides, it doesn't help me, because, you know, I don't think it's worth. I think it's $100 is what it's worth now. It's a really beautiful thing, you know. So I went back to Amazon. I said, here's the deal. I don't want anybody else to sell the book but me. So they did.
Okay, so you can only buy the color version on your website?
Well, right. You can buy the color version on my website. It's $50 bucks now, because it cost me $40. But the real reality of it is, I'm only going to give them away. It was, one person already bought the color version of the book, and if you're smart enough, that's what I would do, because you're going to get a really, really amazing book. The black and white version is $20, but for $30 more, you're going to. What I would probably do is to, I'm hoping will happen. See, I already put in an order with Cindy for the very first on the book. That very first one is like a creature with hoofs and a little horns.
Oh, a unicorn.
No, he plays a flute. He plays a
Pan.
Pan. Yeah. What is he anyway? Is he
he's half horse, half human.
Yeah, but it's a name for what he is.
A hermaphrodite.
Oh, come on. That's awful. No, he's a male.
Oh,
wow. He's like I don't know.
It's a centaur.
Yeah, anybody knows it, gives us a call. By the way,
you're going to win the color version of the book if you know this answer.
Well, that's the way it works. See, if you want to enter the contest, all you have to do is either call, and if you don't know the numbers.
What's the number to call?
That's tough. I'm not going to tell you the numbers. If you don't know, I was going to say, if you don't know the numbers by now, I am not going to give the numbers. By the way, it's time to go.
The numbers out.
Hey, the show is over. It's time to go. Nice to see you guys. See you later. No, wait. So we use Skype, you know, so you do BBS Radio PR. That'll get you to us. See if you use Skype. That's a cool way to do it. I'm pretty soon. See, I have the video, the cam on for mine, but I turn it off because I don't want people to see me because I do the show naked. It's so freeing. I feel so free. hello?
Yeah, I'm just digesting that. But we got to get to our topic, Andy.
Oh, we have to get to our topics, do we?
We have 10. You're going to give us 10 ecological boundaries that we should not be doing but are doing.
Well, see, what's interesting, too, is that, see, I got an email from this, from the person. See, I also send my articles, which you're not doing, but it's called Academic U. It's an Academy of Sciences, and they like me publishing stuff, so they asked me to, you know, put things up there. So anyway, so I post this thing, 7 ways to kill. Actually, it's 10 ways, but
10. Yeah.
This particular one is 7 that I did.
Oh.
I did this a lot 20 years ago, and every 10 years I keep expanding. And originally was 10 ways to kill all living beings within on the earth within 100 years.
Oh, and then you shortened it.
Well, I'm optimistic.
Well, you always says it's not too late to change. So
it's 50 years, and pretty soon I'm thinking 20, 25 years, give it tops 20 years, something like that. But anyway, this scientist sends me an email saying, I see you read my book on the environmental boundaries not to cross. I says, no, I don't think so. I said, well, I saw your article on 10 ways to kill living beings on the planet, and each one of them is right on with my environmental boundary that I covered. And I spent years and years and years getting this book together. He sent me this picture, and I'm going to just go over it real fast. It's like, okay, so... And, you know, and I told him, well, you know, it's not a coincidence because these are actually boundaries. They're there. You know, and you don't need to be a scientist, a brain scientist, to figure out these things. And so I'll go over them in a second. But here, he sent me this really cool picture, and the picture has climate change on it, right?
Uh-huh.
It has novel entities. I'll go over that in a little bit. This is his boundaries. And he also said ozone depletion is stratospheric, right?
Uh-huh.
And then he has atmospheric, you know how we're doing the ozone layer that was blocking the, so, and then we also have ocean acidification, okay, the ocean, right?
Yeah.
Remember, these are scientists, so they have specific things that they call them. I call them slightly different things. So then you have another one called biochemical flows.
Mm-hmm.
That's a cool name, biochemical flows.
What does that mean?
I'll cover that when I go over. You're going to have to ask me. Okay, I'm going to go over each one. I'm just giving a name. Then you have fresh water use. I said, okay, fresh water use. Then you have another one, land system change.
Hmm.
Now, remember, these are scientists. They give them specific names. Us normal people will have different names for that, okay?
Yeah. Right? Well, we wouldn't understand it.
Right. Then they have biosphere integrity, which has to do with how does the Earth function and how... and about genetic diversity. So let's see, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Bingo.
Okay, so it matches up with your 10, sort of.
And what's interesting, like the first one, okay, so basically it comes down to, I started telling people, look, these are things we should not be doing. I wrote an article on how to kill a tree. People got really upset. I said, lady, where does this... did you read it where it says this is what you're not supposed to do? Because if you're doing these things, you're going to kill a tree. Anyway, so I expanded it to things you're not supposed to be doing on the earth. These are logical things that we really, and the interesting thing that this guy wrote in his articles, we have already passed these boundaries. These are boundaries we're not supposed to cross. And guess what? Every single one of these boundaries we have not only crossed, but we have gone over so far, who knows what the heck's going to happen, right?
Right.
So the first one is nuclear.
And do you mean nuclear plants? Do you mean nuclear waste? Do you mean, what do you mean?
Well, the nuclear plants by themselves are not the problem if they're done right.
Mm-hmm.
There is, you know, right now, you know why we use... why we have nuclear plants the way we do now?
You would see
on the surface. Well, it's because, you know, hey, we need energy,
for energy. I understood that. that, yeah.
Yeah, it's a cool way to make energy on the surface. Go away, I'm not here.
Uh-oh. It's business but, calling.
but the real reason... The real reason why... I have a lot of calls here, and I'm not going to answer it because it's probably from my friends. My friends have this amazing psychic ability
to call you when you're on the radio.
Exactly right. I've been doing the radio show for centuries. You know. Anyway, so they have a nuclear power the way they build now for one main reason. The waste of it, the nuclear waste, they can turn it into nuclear bombs.
Oh, I did not know that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And so there is a way to have nuclear power without any nuclear waste. And therefore, you wouldn't have this problem of radiation. Because the nuclear waste, if you can put it in something and it lasts for 20,000 years and doesn't leak or break apart, it'd be fine. If the earth shakes, whatever, and it doesn't happen, it's an impenetrable thing. It doesn't work that way because the system we're using, well, you know, here is, you know, in Southern California, we have the San Onofre nuclear power plant that they closed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the problem is it's only 62 miles from the city of L.A., yeah. The U.S., right? The U.S., there should never have been built that close to a city in the first place because you're not allowed to store nuclear waste within 50 to 60 miles of a populated city. And guess what they're doing? They're storing it in their backyard, these folks. Okay, they're right there by the ocean. All kinds of stuff can happen. California earthquakes. That nuclear waste is leaking. And just like they're saying, you know, what the reality of it is, you know, that what happened in Japan, then what was the name of a nuclear
bomb?
Well, yeah, but Chernobyl was another one, and also in Japan, right? In yes. both cases, they were that close, like the one in Japan, the governor of Japan said, we were that close to having to evacuate all of Japan, and nobody could move back to it for tens of thousands of years. We were just that close.
Wow.
Okay?
Yeah.
And the Chernobyl, the Russians were saying, we were that close to having everybody evacuate a major part of Europe. Because, you know, if there had been one more explosion and they had one more thing that had blown up, it would have spread us. And so radiation is, you know, one of the boundaries because basically you want to live in a radiation-free environment, right?
Well, I'm hoping so, yes. But
yeah, we have not evolved. A friend of mine said, we will evolve to live in a radiated environment. I don't think so. Okay, because we have, I'm a math scientist, and out there in the universe, the order of things is chaos. Chaos is the law of the universe. And there are some places, and this is one of the places that chaos is around us, but we're not in chaos. And we cannot have evolved, have gotten to where we're at if it wasn't the fact we were in a radiation-free zone. And even then, you know, it's very iffy because at any moment, we can be bombarded with massive gamma rays from the sun. Because the sun goes, just, you know, it happens to be pointing in other directions. But if it goes towards us, we go, okay, right?
Right.
So radiation is, and radiation, you know, waste, you know, radioactivity, the way, and I mean, right now, every nuclear power plant in the world is leaking. Every one of them is leaking.
Well, there are supposed to be two in California. One's outside of San Luis Obispo, which is, I guess, central California, and one is between Los Angeles and San Diego, which is the one you're talking about.
That's the one they closed. It's closed.
Ah.
I think the other one is going to be closing up, too. But the one in San Diego, near San Diego, they had a problem, and they had to shut it down. It's costing us billions of dollars, and they have no place for the storage or waste to go. Nobody wants to have the waste in their backyard, so to speak, because it's not going to work. And yet, we have the kahungas to keep building nuclear power plants. Like China is building like one every couple of months, and I'm not sure. So the radiation is one of the boundaries we have already crossed. We have done so much damage, right, to the cities. And by the way, the way you have nuclear power plant without having radioactive waste, instead of using uranium, you use thorium. It's named after the god of Thor, It's called thorium. And there happens to be two nuclear power plants in the world, one in India and one in Russia, that run on thorium. And it's totally recyclable. It has no nuclear waste whatsoever. You can't build nuclear bombs from it, but it has no problem with having nuclear waste.
Interesting.
And to me, it's like I have no idea why, other than money, we have not gone down that route.
Yeah, because this radiation causes long-term effects, and basically it can pollute everything, like you saw in Japan and in Chernobyl.
Well, what's going on is, and that's one of the things I'm going to talk about sooner or later. I call it environmental alert. I have another radio show called WTF, and it has
what
to do
Freud?
What the frack?
Right. What the Freud?
Right. I saw Babylon 5, and they always said that, you know, what the frack, and it got to be known as a famous saying now, you know, I forget. What was I talking about?
The nuclear plants that are using a certain chemical element that is not detrimental.
Well, they could use thorium, and it would produce a nuclear power, and it would be totally safe. You go that route, you don't have the radiation, the radioactive waste. Then nowadays your nuclear power plants, they could actually sit in the back of a vehicle, of a truck. That's how small they can make them, the new versions of them. It's just using old technology this way, it's very, very bad. You don't even have to go over what happens if somebody blows up a nuclear bomb somewhere, right?
No, we don't have to go over that. It's over.
Right? Right? You know, there's lots of radiation already, so we're just going to add more. And to make matters even worse is that what I was going to say was, is okay, so, you know, we're going through this climate change right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, so you
we
know.
Are. Yes.
Understand this whole thing about, you know, carbon and getting hot, and it's getting, the world's going to get hotter, right?
Or colder, as some people say.
Well, here's the thing. Okay, so what people need to understand, and maybe I might as well just keep going because I'm hot.
You're a hot potato right now.
Right. So what happens is that climate change is a normal function. Okay, so it goes through warming periods and cold periods. Right. That's a normal, just like day and night, is a normal function.
Mm-hmm.
But so what's happening is that. In the past, you know, the last global warming period we had was called the medieval warming period. And you get the idea of medieval times, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the last ice age we had was called the Little Ice Age.
Okay.
And the way it works is you always have a warming period followed by an ice age.
Okay.
Warm always follows, cold always follows a warm, you know, because a warm just has more vapor, more water everywhere, right?
Right.
Okay, and then sooner or later, that's going to freeze. That's why now on Earth we have the Arctic is actually getting colder while the rest of the world is getting warmer. Because more water is going up in the air, and it's just going there, and it's going to freeze, and it'll be... So the reason why we had the medieval warming period was because in Europe they were cutting down the forest to expand their cities, right?
Mm-hmm.
So and this was just during that time, because also too around the world there were other things going on in China, and you know, all different cultures are expanding, right? They were cutting down their forests and expanding, right?
Yes.
That alone, remember, we didn't have cars then. All you had was just horses and stuff, right?
Yes.
That alone caused it to warm up for 500 years. It got a little warmer. And it gets just so warm enough to where it does the same thing. So it melts the ice, the glaciers, fresh water. It tends to melt more of it, right?
Yes.
Okay, so, and that was followed by a little ice age, and the reason why the ice age follows the global warming period is that, you know what the Gulf Stream is, right?
Yes.
Do you know that the Gulf Stream governs our climates, right?
Yes, I've heard that.
Okay, right, you know how it does that, right? To extend it, it circulates around things around the world, right? It has a, that's why it's called a Gulf Stream. It tends to basically go around the world, right? It's a winding thing in the ocean, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know how that works? Why the Gulf Stream circulates?
No, I don't know what causes it to circulate, no.
Right, okay, so here's the thing. So the ocean is salt water, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and glaciers are what?
Ice.
And?
Ice and salt.
And no. Glaciers are not salty. Glaciers are fresh water.
Oh, that's right. Glaciers are in fresh water. Yes, are fresh water.
They're fresh water.
Yes.
Okay, so when you melt the glaciers, that fresh water goes where?
Into the ocean.
Uh-huh. So here's the thing. So when salt water gets cold, it sinks. No, I say, so when salt water gets cold, it sinks. When it gets hot, it goes up.
It expands.
Circulates, right. When fresh water gets cold, it doesn't sink. It doesn't matter if it's cold or hot. It stays at a certain. So what happens is that when you dump fresh water into salt water, that's why you have a circulation. So that what happens is that as the salt water goes down to deeper in the ocean, it gets, wait a second. Maybe I get it backwards. No, so as the sun, I do have it backwards. Because when the sun shines on the ocean, it gets warm. It makes the cold water below rise, and the it circulates. Then as the sun heats it, it goes down again, makes the cold water rise.
And this is the function of the Gulf Stream.
And the Gulf Stream, the reason it and just because of that, it circulates around the world. And as it circulates around the world, it changes the causes a climate change from winter, spring, summer, and fall. Mm. And if you dump fresh water into that, it stops that circulation.
So when glaciers melt,
yeah,
what you're saying is the circulation is going to stop?
When the glaciers melt, you get enough fresh water into the salt water, you don't have a Gulf Stream anymore.
Ooh.
Right. If you don't have a Gulf Stream anymore, what will happen is places that are cold, Arctic, Antarctic, they're going to get colder and colder and colder and colder and colder and colder. It stops the cycle. The first thing that happens is all the world goes into an ice age. The last big ice age was 10,000 years.
That's a long time.
The ice age was, you know how tall the Empire State Building is?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the glaciers were 20 to 30, 40 times taller than that, higher.
Oh, my.
And the glaciers covered all of the United States, lots of different parts of the, you know, the glaciers, right? And they went, and as the cycles went back to normal, they started retreating back, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's why you have an ice age always following a warming period.
Okay.
So now what we're having, now what we're seeing is our temperatures are going up, 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 right?
Yeah.
And this is approximately 10 times worse than what we did in the medieval period, because now we've raised it to such a point, right, that it's going to melt. A lot of the glaciers are, the world's largest glacier was just recently floating, you know, Antarctica had a big chunk of it floating. It was bigger than New Jersey and New York combined.
Holy cow.
Yeah, you know. And they're saying you get enough of that melting, stops the fresh water circulating, raises the water level. Even though ocean goes up a foot, lots of places are in trouble. So here's the thing. So that is enough. That is tough enough for human beings to make it through, because they made it through before. You know, so you have. So it gets warmer and warmer, and they migrated, and then it gets really cold, and then a lot of them die, but a lot of them survive, right?
Yeah.
You're not going to survive what was I going to call it? A nuclear ice age. Okay, so you have, just say, let's just be a friend, let's be nice about it. Let's just say, okay, countries have nuclear power plants, right?
Yes.
Some countries have more than other ones. You know, so we have a lot more in all the countries. Then some countries don't have any. But let's assume we spread them out. Everybody had one nuclear power plant, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's look at a different location. Let's say the way it is now. What if all of a sudden things froze? Because that's when ice age happens. In certain places it gets really, really cold really, really fast. And that's what's happening now. Certain places are getting colder faster. Other places are getting hotter. And it always has to balance out. But eventually the cold will take over the hot. And it'll be really cold for a long time. But you do that with nuclear power plants breaking, you know, and that radiation race going out. So you have a radiated ice age. Mm-hmm. It takes tens of thousands of years to get over that radiation. See?
How does the Earth just swallow it somehow, or how does radiation disperse?
It changes chemically the bonding that puts together the uranium bonds break up. They all have a life cycle that they normally would decompose, and different things decompose at different rates. Uranium happens to take tens of thousands of years to fall to break down into other things, and there's nothing you can do. You can't run it through the oven. You can't expose it to other things to get to you right.
Right,
and so that's one of the problems we have with radiation is that nuclear waste is that the people can't go to Chernobyl now. They won't be able to go to it for thousands of years. That place in Japan, they won't be able to go to it for thousands of years, if not tens of thousands of years, because that's it.
And then animals and living things and the plants are all contaminated, and
they will die.
I guess they will eventually, yeah.
And what interesting, like in Chernobyl, what they were saying, well, the animals here are fine. Dude, the animals are coming and going. They go there, they hang out just long enough to get radiated, and they go off and die somewhere else.
Yeah.
Those that are living there, because people are moving on and all kinds of stuff, they're all have all kinds of major problems, and they all die. Anyway, yeah. Moving on.
Okay, moving on.
Okay, oil is the next one. Okay, oil has again to do with polluting the basic resources that we need, in terms of the damages that it does. Well, not set aside the damage that it's doing because we're burning the oil and stuff, but that oil, the way it came to be, it's for many millions of years, Earth compressed it, and it's below the ground. And it's useful in certain ways. It can't be converted, but the real problem is that it pollutes our water and pollutes our air, and these are environments that we cannot be polluting. The polluting our air is one of the environmental boundaries that it gets covered in terms of the biosphere integrity. Mm-hmm. See, right? And you also have atmospheric aerosol. They have here aerosol loading, but basically, I mean anything that you burn and goes up into the air. And so our ambition to make money has gone down this route of harvesting oil, right?
Yeah.
And so what we're doing is damaging the earth in a lot of different ways, but the pollution is a major factor that we have to look at, because it pollutes the oil. Well, every time there's an oil leak. You think they cleaned it, you heard it's been cleaned up, right? Well, it doesn't exactly get cleaned up. Okay? And so they continue to damage animals, living beings, all kinds of creatures for a very, 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 very long time.
I would imagine. Yeah.
And now remember, these are all different things. You combine them together. This is how we're going to get rid of the human race. Unfortunately, human race is going to take everything down with them. So if the oil only attacked human beings, how would they cool? Right?
Right, but it's
fine. You want to use it.
Planet.
Right, you want to use it, fine, if it just kills you and your children and your family. But it doesn't hurt animals and the environment, fine with me. It doesn't work that way. It's just like with radiation. It doesn't say, wait a minute, I'm not going to hurt the animals, I'm just going to hurt the humans. No, it doesn't work that way, right?
No, we're stressing the planet.
Okay, now we have food.
Yeah, geo food.
That's actually that's another show I want to do. I wrote an article called "Some GMOs Are Good and Some GMOs Are Bad." This whole thing about just GMO is a terminology that people need to understand that they're going down the wrong path, because you know that you and I are GMOs.
Well, yeah, I think it's a whole topic for a whole show, Andy, actually. I remember you talking about it on prior shows, and it's fascinating.
Yeah, it's a whole, because see, you're not identical to your parents. This whole thing of, us having babies and stuff like that, we're genetically modifying our children. They're all genetically modified. You know, if I married you and I had babies with you, your babies would be a combination of our gene. That's a genetically modified product. Mm-hmm. And we can pick. We can say, okay, I want to marry a really nice Jewish lady. Well, that's a genetically modified product. Or I could go, look, I'm going to go Arabian. Or I want, right? These are all, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
And it's very misleading to the public, because recently somewhere in Kansas, they went to court and they wanted to ban GMOs, and they threw it out in court. And the reason why they threw it out is because the lawyer said, "Your Honor, we've been, this is ridiculous. Genetically modified organisms has been proven safe for centuries. We've been genetically modifying corn, we've been genetically modifying food. Every single food on the market has been genetically modified." And
so
then they went on.
Why are people saying it's so dangerous?
Because, see, they don't understand. It's a terminology. What they need to worry about is GEO. No, they need to worry about genetically engineered organisms. That's what they need to worry about.
Oh, I see the difference. I see what you're saying.
Right, and I'll go over more in detail in another show. But basically, genetically modified organisms is a title for a group of things, right? And covers a group of things. And what the person was talking about was genetically modified organism. Like if you're a garden.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So. I happen to be a good gardener. My vegetables are absolutely amazing. My fruits and stuff like that. So I like tomatoes, and I grow lots of different types of tomatoes and invite people over to try them. And they go, "Oh my God, look at this tomato! It's tasty, it's delicious." So what I do is I save those seeds. I have a seed bank anyway, and then I will grow those tomatoes next year, right?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Well, if I did that year after year after year, I'm going to have some of the best tomatoes ever, right?
It would appear so.
Right, and that's genetically modified. That's one branch of genetically modified organisms. When you take, as a farmer, you pollinate, you can have corn, you can do anything and grow it. And if something really good, you grow that. You can even take something, you say, "Well, this corn is really sweet, but this corn doesn't get attacked. I'm going to pollinate the two together." Normally, I would grow them and then pollinate them so they pollinate each other, and they genetically would bend. That's a genetically modified organism. Every salad.
That's a safe activity to do.
Exactly right. Every lettuce you buy in the store is genetically modified. Even tomatoes now, are not the way they are now, the way then that they are now. So they've all been genetically modified. Even humans are genetically modified, what I mean, right? Mm-hmm. Okay? But another branch of genetically modified organisms is where you take nuclear waste, radiation, and you expose the cells to the radiation, and the mutation is the product, right? Personally, I think that's a little weird because Mother Nature, she knows that best, and she doesn't really produce anything really good this way, but that's one of the ways. And they were actually going to say, well, let's radiate the food, get rid of the bad stuff, and it's not going to hurt you at all. And they couldn't get away with that. That way it's still organic. And the third method is where you splice two different genes together.
Mm-hmm.
That's genetically engineered. That's the one. That's not necessarily bad. The problem is that it should not be owned by a private company. Here's a private company having technology that should benefit the world. But right now, the genetically engineered organisms is the one of the things that can help the human race during this next 20, 30, 50 years, if it has that time frame. Because like I said, we're going through this climate change. And normally you would say, okay, I'm going to grow corn that's just used to the heat, right?
Yes.
But you have to go through a couple years of that. You have to grow some corn, and you take the best one, grow some corn, takes the best one, grow some corn, takes... That takes a few, quite a few years to come up with a corn that can match the heat, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
We don't have that time. We don't have that time. Mm-hmm. So a genetically engineer, if I was a scientist and I had a right to this technology, I would say, okay, cool. I'm going to look at every vegetable, every fruit and everything. I'm going to make it so that you don't have to go up higher altitudes to grow. That you can grow this in the desert. You can grow in any environment because we need to grow food regardless of what's going on with the weather, right?
Yes.
And I could develop that right away. I could say this corn is really strong. It doesn't need a lot of no fertilizations or anything. This corn doesn't get attacked by pests. This corn actually likes the heat. Genetically modify that one, make one corn that with it, you know, this 1 year doesn't take that long to come up with that. But the problem with that is they're not going to make money off of that, right? They're going to actually give it away to the world so that farmers can grow. And everybody can grow the food we need without having to, to deal, because that's another issue. Well, how do you grow when it's 100 degrees, right?
Yeah, sure. Some parts of the country, yeah.
So the real problem is GEO food right now because, United States, in the United States alone, for example, 98% of the food you're eating has GEO in it. And they decided that you don't need to know that. Okay? The sugar. They came out with a genetically modified sugar, and then they recently came out with a new one. And the new one, they wanted to call it, if you eat this, you will die sugar. And they said, well, maybe we should change the name to something really nice. Okay? And that's 100 times sweeter than the previous sugar that they modified. And this genetically modified sugar that we're eating now is killing us, killing... You know, remember bees collapse?
Mm-hmm.
Bee colony collapse. Well, that's because they're going out pollinating genetic engineered corn, right, which has Roundup in it. That's one of the things that's bad. This private company decided to take, gee, how can we sell more Roundup? I know, we'll put it in the seeds of stuff, and we'll say, well, that way you don't have, if it's in the seed, you do not have to spray Roundup.
Spray it, yeah.
Right. That was their logic. It's in the seed, and you don't have to, and then it's in the seed, you can eat it, it won't bother you. They're still saying that.
Yeah, I heard that on the news recently.
And that has allowed them to get away with it, even though there are definitely proof everywhere, and lots of, around the world, they can prove it that it is bad for you, that you can't do it. People are still eating it, and they're still using it.
Well, I vote that we have a show just on this topic because I think so many people, as I am, are confused by it. But let's keep moving on. The next thing was microwaved food. Now, this fascinated me because everybody that I know has a microwave. Maybe they use them stone. I don't know. Don, do you have a microwave? I don't remember if you do. I don't know. Anyway, but the microwave...
Don doesn't listen to our show. He goes on and smokes his cigarette.
Oh, is he having a break? Okay, never mind.
This is the only time to take a break.
So the microwave was developed in 1946 by an engineer named Terry Spencer.
Yeah.
And it was invented after World War II from radar technology developed during the war.
Yeah.
So, and then it started to be sold by a Amana Corporation in the 70s. And then now everybody has a microwave. But I want to know, why do you say in your book that the microwave destroys food?
Look.
So all of us are like heating things up. I don't cook in a microwave, but I certainly heat things up, melt.
You know the saying, you are what you eat?
Absolutely, yeah.
So if you only eat dead things, that's not really good for you. You know
that,
right?
People eat meat and it's dead.
Yeah.
People eat plants and they're dead.
There's one thing, look, yeah, it's just, right, so... We can say, okay, a hunter will go kill an animal and eat it, and that's not good for you. But we evolved through that. We evolved hunting and killing things. But it's not really when you kill an animal, you're not really killing the cells are still alive in the body, the meat, the structure of it. Just like when you eat an apple, pick an apple off a tree.
Nutrition carries through. is what you're saying. Yeah, there's still nutrition in there. Nutrition.
No, it's still alive in the sense that the cells are still alive.
Well, that's
so you pick an apple. Basically, you're killing an apple when you pick it off a tree. But you eat it, and sooner or later, that apple will realize it's dead, and it'll die, right? It'll decay, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just like with the animal. You hunt the animal. There's a certain reason why we freeze it and do all this stuff. We don't want it to die.
when you pick a lettuce, the microwave kill your food.
It blows up the cells. It literally blows up the cell wall.
So when you microwave water or anything, so you're destroying the...
No, water doesn't have cell walls. We're talking about living things.
Oh, so like if you put a piece of, veal parmesan or whatever people
There's
eat.
There's a big difference between a microwave vegetable and a vegetable that you don't cook and a vegetable that you do cook, because if you cook it wrong, you're also destroying it, right?
Now they have microwavable food bowls. I see this on the cooking show. I see it on YouTube.
So the problem with
microwavable cooking bowls to heat food so that it's not mushy.
Right. So the thing is that it blows up. If you were to look under a microscope, you'll see it has a living cell that's cell surrounded. We have a cell membrane around our cell. That and all plants and everything have this cell, right?
Okay.
When you're supposed to eat the whole cell, a lot. That's why it's called. That's why when we talk about live food, you're supposed to be eating. That's the cell, the living cell, before it dies. Because I always had this argument when I was a kid. I said, "Wait a minute, I'm going to kill that lettuce to eat it? Seriously, right?"
Right.
I said, how can you get anything in your body without killing it, right? It's a definition. You know, didn't really, the lettuce didn't exactly die because it's still there in the ground. As you pull even if you pull the whole thing up, the cells are still alive for a while, and then they die. That's the way it is. When you hunt something, you kill a deer, you take the meat. The meat is still alive in the sense that the cells are still there, and eventually the cells will die, and then you're going to eat the dead. Go ahead.
But what you're saying is the microwave restructures the cells so that they're no longer cells anymore.
It blows them up. It goes poof. It blows them up.
But nobody's died from it. I mean, the microwave...
You don't die from eating dead food other than slowly, other than to lack of nutrition. One of the reasons why you eat live food is because the live food is what's carrying... There are many things that the live food has in it that you want to eat. And that's a whole show right there, because I happen to be very good at this. Is what is it you want in that live cell?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And it ties into your whole thing about soil. If the nutrients aren't in the soil, if you don't take care of your soil, there's not going to be nutrients in the vegetables that you grow.
Right. So the soil has live cells also. Just different types of live cells. Yeah. Right. And they have a function, and that function is to transmit nutrition to other living things.
Right. Okay, number six, moving on. Keep that cell phone on.
Do what? Oh, a cell phone. That's another technology that it wasn't exactly tested on humans and living things to see what it does, and that it actually does harm living organisms. It goes right through your brain, right into your cells. We carry it with us all the time. We carry it close to our sexual organs, which affects our sperm.
And women carry it close to their breasts. They often tuck a cell phone into their bra.
Right. And so this is a technology that if you were to have this the vision like Superman had, where he could see... the energy, you will see that you are literally bombarding yourself with different types, because radiation is another technology, that another boundary that we don't, electromagnetic pollution.
Electromagnetic radiation pollution, yeah.
Exactly right. So we are bombarding ourselves with the Wi-Fi, the cell phone, the TV, smart meters. All these things are very, very dangerous. You know, the federal government said you're not allowed to live within 1,500 feet 3 miles of a microwave tower. And guess what? The whole city of Hueneme is within a, because the military is right next door, has a giant microwave tower. We're within that range easily. We're bombarding. Let me make a long story short. It's another. You should take notes because it's going to be another show. Look, we have an electric magnetic field of our own that we generate. You understand that, right?
Yes.
Okay, so you know what a human aura is?
Yes.
Okay, so that's one nice way of saying that we have an electromagnetic field. We have different types of fields that we generate. All living things generate a field, just like non-living things generate. The Earth has its own electromagnetic field. The Sun has its own electromagnetic field, and a bunch of other fields, right?
Mm-hmm, and planets okay. And all those.
Exactly right. And living organisms, trees have a magnetic field, and so do cells. And so this technology is bombarding these cells and damaging these cells. See?
That's frightening.
Right. And here's the thing that's interesting, too, is that the Russians, our friends the Russians, realize this technology can actually be directed at people and hurt them without them even knowing it. Smart meters.
Hurt the person directing it too.
Oh yeah, you can develop a weapon that would, you can point it at a city, and bombard it with specific types of electromagnetic frequencies that will just damage people's brain cells, and they won't even know it until it's too late.
Okay.
Smart meters, right?
Yeah, that's a whole nother show too.
No, so the smart meters are basically small transmitters and receivers, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have, so think about having a, how does cell phone, how do you talk to somebody else? It transmits and receives, and it's very powerful wave.
Yeah.
You see, right? And it doesn't say I'm going to go around that person, or I'm not going to hurt that. It's going to just go right straight through you.
Yeah, that's why you shouldn't sleep in a room with your cell phone or any other.
Yeah, so they have these smart meters right on the other side of people's homes, right next to their room.
Right.
And there are ways now you can actually block that energy from entering your home. They actually found that the people living next to the smart meters are being bombarded so much that they have all kinds of physical and mental and health problems result from that, okay?
Right.
So the microwave is even worse because not only does a microwave destroy your food, but it microwaves you too. What do you do? You know how you take your X-ray and a lady puts on this, gives you this heavy metal thing, and then she goes and hides behind the thing and just click, click, right?
Yeah.
Well, you do your microwave. Do you run around behind the wall and wait for it to? No, you're getting microwaved.
Stand in front of it.
Right, you're getting microwaved. And just because you don't die right there doesn't mean it's not good for you.
Or it's not altering you in some way.
What it really does is it alters your genes to the point that your children are going to get it, and their children are going to get it, and their children are going to get it. And the damage is there forever. You ain't going to fix that.
And that's why when you say how to kill the planet in 50 years, that's how all this could happen.
Right, because these people are going to have their babies, and their babies are going to have their babies. It doesn't take too many generations for that to show up.
Yes. And then we have things like deforestation and land misuse, nuclear war, and obviously we've talked about pollution. And that sort of like ties into this whole topic of what are we doing to our planet?
Sewer sludge. Okay.
Oh, sewer sludge. Yeah, we skipped that. Yeah, sorry.
Sewer sludge. Okay, so a long time ago, I got into it with our favorite KELLO, double good. Those guys? Only it's not the cereal.
I see. Kellogg.
You're not supposed to say it.
Oh, sorry.
You're
gonna
get
sued. Sorry. Forgive you. Oh, scratch that.
You're
going to
get sued. Anyway, not the cereal company, the sewer company, the sludge company. Now you can't call it. They decided they call it biosolids. Okay.
Oh, a fancy word.
A long time ago, to make a long story short, a famous person was a golfer. He was a barefoot golfer. He died because of the heavy metals the window court. They proved it was the heavy metals. You know how the company got out of it?
No.
You went to other golf courses, proved that it was our golf course that did it.
Well, that would be hard.
Right, so they got thrown out. But anyway, the company, there's a company that makes, I forgot the name of it now, but they make, and they're still on the market now. They were told, a law passed that they had to put labels as warning, do not use on fruit trees and vegetables, warning, do not use if pregnant. Then they passed the law, it depends who was in office, you know, hey, never mind, it's fine. Now it says on the packaging, please visit our website for warning conditions, like as if you people use the website. But the heavy metals is really, really toxic and really, really bad. And now we're selling it as compost.
As compost?
Exactly right. Lots of cities are selling their stuff as compost because it technically is compost. Okay, so the city, I'm not going to give the name of the city because they get mad at me every time I say it, but they were having compost day and they couldn't give it away. They can't give the stuff away because people realize, hey, this is sewer. Oh, now they call it biosolids. You're not allowed to mention the word sewer sludge. It's supposed to be perfectly safe and it's not. Right. And so these are things that you know, it's interesting. I'll make a long story short because we're going to have to go. Is
right,
that
and we don't want to leave our listeners with a very negative view of the world, even though there is.
Well, that's the thing is that, you know, here we are doing everything we possibly can. We're covering we're making sure we're going to kill ourselves in every way, form, and shape. Plastics in the ocean, right? 60 seconds we got left to live in the world. We don't have time. We're all going to die in 60 seconds. So I'm just going to give it up. I know. It's just hang it up. Go sit down. Put your legs between your leg, arm, whatever you want to do, and say, oh, God, that's it. Next week we're going to be talking about genetically modified organisms. I'm going to cover that more. I'm going to cover that more for everybody so they can understand, because it's important that we get on the same page when we go to court. Because we're going to get the technology back from Monsanto, which, by the way, they sold it to another company. They say, look, we're getting away with this chemical. You can put your chemical in the tooth, just pay us money. Okay, everybody. See you later. Take care.
Have a great week.
Thank you, Deborah.
Thank you.
Okay, everybody, here's the chicken. Take care now. Visit InvisibleGardener.com.
C-H-I-C-K-E-N. If you can't spill chicken, then we'll fry it once again. C-H-I-C-K-E-N.
Spill chicken every time.
Thank you for listening to Don't Panic, It's Organic. See you next Saturday.